I'm a father, bro. I know Lenny's a father. You're a father now. You happen to be a father and a mother now. So I just wanted to check in with you, bro, on how you're doing. I know you're dealing with a lot, you know, trying to step in and be there for your kids, be there for your career, be there for your family. How are you holding up?
I mean, just staying prayed up. That's the key to it all, you know what I'm saying? It ain't no recipe or no, you know what I'm saying, no secret ingredient. You just got to stay prayed up.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie, bro. You inspired me. You did. I ain't gonna lie. When somebody asked you about that question on some platform somewhere, and I discovered more about you in that first 5 minutes that you responded than I have your whole entire career. Knew you was talented, knew you shine. When I found out your spiritual wherewithal, when I found out your purpose, when you spoke so much life after experiencing so much loss, I was telling my sister, and I was like, bro, I can't wait to meet bro, because I ain't even nobody was like that.
All right, last episode, we were standing on business. This episode, we're standing on excellence. I'm your host, Brian McIntosh, and we're here celebrating the 55th NAACP Image Awards. To my left, I have one of the hardest working men in show business. He's an entertainer, actor, comedian, producer, and one of our hosts of BET Celebrity Squares and VH1's Wildin' Out. And he's also nominated this year for NAACP Image Awards. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only DCM Fly.
Oh, what's that?
Hey, you're having a great year, black man. We love to see it. Next up, we have a man holding all the power. He's an actor, writer, artist, and he's having a breakout year in his hit series, Raising Canaan. Our boy Lou, the one and only Mr. Malcolm Mays. How you doing, brother?
Malcolm Mays.
Your voice changed for this. I noticed that.
Hey, you know what I mean?
You might be an actor.
Hey, I'll switch it up a little bit. You know what I mean? Lastly, but certainly not least, we had a man who connects all the dots in front and behind the camera. Everybody says he's an urban legend. If you have a picture on his wall, you made it in life. Last but certainly not least, Mr. Kodak Lens, AKA Lenny S.
Appreciate y'all. Thank you,
bro. So we're going to get into all day home for the fellas, man. We're going to talk mental health, love, the NAACP Image Awards. But most importantly, man, I want to dive straight into this theme, black excellence. Right? I feel like a lot of times we feel like black excellence, you gotta be a celebrity. You gotta be somebody super successful. But it really, it's a lot of everyday black people that are living this that are excellence. Can you guys speak to what black excellence means to you in today's society?
Black excellence is, you know, we just appreciating one another's, you know, point of view. You know what I'm saying? Not only point of view, but their strengths. And if we recognize a weakness, then that's when we can balance each other out and become stronger together when we unite. If we stand and just watch one person be excellent and we don't be motivated by it or be inspired by it or wanted to be of some sort on that level of just feeling that energy, not being that person, just want to know what that energy feel like. I think that's what black excellence is majority all about.
I like to start with words because that just roots me. You know what I mean? So the idea of black being a cultural thing that we all share, and a consciousness that we all share, and then excellence being level of aptitude, the highest level of aptitude, the highest level of achievement. I think often we as human beings confuse success with scale. And I think that, like you said, you know, my mother raising me in the circumstances that she was given was excellence. And that's just as excellent as Oprah, was just as excellent as Denzel, just as excellent, you know, Ida B. Wells was just as excellent as Ice Spice or whoever else. You know what I mean? Like achieving in the face of adversity is the highest level of excellence to me. So, yeah, I just would like us to all be reminded in Black History Month that it don't matter. If you get up every day and you go do your stuff and you do it to the highest level of ability that you got, whatever that may be, you excellent to me, champ.
Absolutely, man. I think Black excellence is making a mark, you know, while you're here. Something, whether it's cultural, whether it's something being the first person in your family to go to school, graduate college. Like you say, you know, it doesn't have to be celebrity-based, you know what I'm saying? But it could also be people we look up to, people that have breaking boundaries. It could be Rich Paul, Jay Brown. You know, it doesn't have to always be, like you said, the athlete or the artist.
Lenny S.
Not at all. But yeah, man, making a mark in the culture, too.
And I love your answer, man. What you're saying, like, it could be the black mother, it can be the sister, it can be the daughter, it can be these beautiful black women sitting behind this camera who run production here at BET. It's a regular day person, man. That is black excellence. It embodies that. So, DC, I want to come back to you. You know, who's a non-famous person in your life that you just, you know, you want to give your flowers to that you consider just black excellence?
A non-famous person? Really everybody that I'm associated with. You know what I'm saying? And because I stand for them and I stand with them. And when they see me, I represent them because I was them. It don't matter if it was just entertainment or not. I was going to try to be great at whatever I put my hands on. So it's like their motivation. You know what I'm saying? Like when I go back home. So, but Jordan, I could just say like my mom.
For sure.
Black excellence.
Absolutely. Always got to go with mom.
Well, that's not fair. You took my answer. We all do. I mean, it's kind of unfair, right? Because it's family at the end of the day. Like, I got blessed enough. Everybody family ain't like that. You know, everybody doesn't look up to their family members, but I was blessed enough to have a matriarchal family unit that was full of strong Black women. So, like him, my mother, of course, that goes without saying. My grandmother, she like a prayer warrior, you feel me? And I feel like the way that she done prayed is the reason I'm on this couch with y'all. Like, that's crazy. Like, I think about it. Like, all the men in my family, we ain't shit. But the women, they prayers. My great aunt who passed away, she as well, Gertie, she was a prayer warrior. They get in that Bible and go crazy while we out running around doing what we doing. And I can honestly say that's probably the only reason that I'm sitting right here with y'all. So
yeah, man, I have to say the same thing. My mom and my grandma raised me. My grandma was the one when I got my first income tax check. She was like, spend it on something that's going to mean something or save it. And I bought my camera with my first, you know, income tax, little $350.
Come on, grandma, let's go.
Stuff like that. She the one, my dad couldn't even, I'm not knocking my dad, but I mean, he couldn't even co-sign for my car, my apartment. My grandmother and my mother did. So again, man, they raised me, they taught me values. And outside of that, what I said earlier, like the Rich Pauls of the world, the Jay Browns of the world, these guys are creating real companies and real opportunities to give people real jobs, you know what I'm saying, that are not, you know, celebrities.
No, for sure, man. I love with, like I said, man, with Black mothers, I think about my mom, man. She literally refused to let me fail. You know what I'm saying? When it came to school, whatever trials and tribulations I was dealing with in life, she always made sure she supported me, invested in me in the future. You talk about her investing in the camera. Like, that's really what a Black woman is. They invest in us. They support us.
Nurturing. They have a nurturing spirit. They have a God-given nurturing spirit about them. You dig what I'm saying? Like, they level us out. They balance us out because it's a natural instinct for a man to be the provider and the protector. You see what I'm saying? Exactly. We don't know how to love without a woman. We don't know how to be soft without a woman. We don't know how to channel our emotions.
How to be vulnerable.
All right, so when Tess said something, I was like, yeah, I got one. So there's a young lady, Black girl. She's like 17. I don't know if she's still 17, but she just went viral. Her name is Deja Taylor. And she created basically when you get wounded, they stitch it up. And those wounds sometimes have infections. So she created this thing that it can tell you by the color of the suture what infection may happen. And for people who are from, you know, places that don't have a lot of money and don't have a lot of technology medically, she created it. She a high schooler, bro. And I was like, yo, this woman is hard. She was on, you know, and I just, that was really like, to me, something you would not expect. She wasn't a science person before. Mm-hmm. She was in chemistry class. They gave her a prompt and just how excellent we can be. She just was like, oh, well, why don't you just use roots? Beet juice. I was like, that's so Black. That's the Blackest thing I done heard. She done solved a medical issue with some
beet juice.
And I was like, she hard, bro. She not even able to drink or drive. She hard. Deja Taylor, yeah, she hard. And then I'll say one more person would be, Brittany and Tasha Hilton. You know, they got this together. So that.
I got a woman by the name of Jazz Young. I met Jazz Young maybe 30 years ago. She was a product manager at Def Jam. I stood in her office every day. And now she has a music program at Howard University. That I'm an executive in residence for. So I go every month, speak to the kids, do panels, bring some people in, bring, you know, celebrities or bring entrepreneurs and just trying to, you know, teach the kids at Howard and give them some insight and give them some, you know, some knowledge for when they, you know, about to leave school. But I love the program and Jazz Young, man. She's just always been for the people, for the kids. And yes, Jasmine Young.
Absolutely, absolutely. DC, who you got?
My mama. Yeah, my mama, man. You know, my mama, she bathed me when I was stabbed up. She was there. She changed my clothes when I couldn't change my clothes. So just a level of foundation and a level of spiritual background, you dig what I'm saying? I'm glad I had those praying warriors, you know what I'm saying, praying over me because I could have easily been, you know, an example that people could be using to tell others not to do. Mm. You see what I'm saying? So I that's somebody that a lot of people don't know, but they can Google is my mom.
For sure, for sure. I'm gonna cheat, but it's in one. It's two people in one. Tatiana Holyfield, who's the SVP over at SiriusXM. She used to be a former exec here at BET. She's the one who even gave me my shot. So my trajectory, my journey wasn't traditional. I wasn't that Ivy League kid. You know, I didn't have this big fancy resume, but I did have talent. And she believed in me and gave me my first opportunity here at BET. So I'm always thankful for her for that. Sure. And also, I want to give a shout out to Brittany Taylor, who's my senior director here at BET. I was going through a rough time transitioning between teams. I was down bad last year, and I've had probably my best year in life personally and professionally because of her. So the black women, all the black women at BET, they always support me, always have uplifted me, always have believed in my vision and what I do. So they're the reason a lot of the black women and behind the scenes right now that you see sitting here
and on the floor
and in New York at the office, they're the ones that believed in me and believe in all the men here at BET. So forever thankful for them and how they and I have support. And again, I bring that up to say, you know, a lot of us, y'all too, you know, our journey wasn't traditional, right? You know, y'all road to excellence was unlike other people. So DC, I want to come to you, man. Just speak on your road to excellence, man. You start out on social media. Now you really, you've crossed over into mainstream entertainment with hosting, acting, producing with your new films.
Yes, sir.
Speak to that journey.
I love Posse, man. Produced with Mario Van Peebles coming out March 1st. You dig Celebrity Squares hosting, Wildin' Out being on TV for consecutively 9 years. So it's like, you know, we just thankful, you know what I'm saying, to the higher power that he continued to just bless us and just, you know what I'm saying, he guided in our footsteps. And you, with the road to success, a lot of people want it like right now. And, you know, you may have the potential, but patience is key. You know what I'm saying? You may not be ready at that moment in time because when you have lack of knowledge, you'll have lack of self-discipline. And you'll have lack of patience for you to not even understand what's going on. Like everything in life, you got to sit and be still and find the purpose and find out why you're there. Find out what you can learn from it. Even if it's not long term, take it, whatever you, it's a reason why we're here right now. Because we're venting. We're getting stuff off our chest and off our mind that we've probably been thinking about for a long period of time. And then plus people need to hear it and see black men talking on a certain level of a frequency. You dig what I'm saying? And this is part of it. Like, you just gotta be patient, man. Stay prayed up and don't let things bother you. And I, from everything that I learned, I say, through uncomfortable situations, how you react through uncomfortable situations is a result of who you are.
That's a fact. That's how you see who somebody is for real.
You see what I'm saying? So it's like, you all that, I would've did this, I would've, man, you don't know until you get into a situation when you're uncomfortable. That's when your character is tested. That's when your integrity is tested. That's when your emotions impulsively is tested. Because me, impulsively, you dig what I'm saying?
That's a fact.
But when I have to stay grounded and be still and be like, my mama say, who going to take care of my kids?
Keep it from going left.
You dig what I'm saying? And it's like, not only that, it's like, damn, God is using me, man. The masses need somebody to deliver the message to keep the energy right.
Yeah.
So it's like, I know what my purpose in life. So it's like, I can't move how I may want to move. I ain't perfect, but I'm righteous.
Yeah, because it ain't about you.
You dig what I'm saying? So even with all this, it's just, I feel like all that is up on the one, keeps me grounded with what's going on. So when you see the trajectory and how my career is going, it's, first of all, I want to be great. Second of all, I'm thankful.
Absolutely.
You dig what I'm saying? I'm more grateful than anything. And third of all, if we're in the entertainment and we get these opportunities, especially where we come from. Like, once you know where you come from.
Appreciate.
And now where you at now, it's like, I'm taking every opportunity like it's my last. Mm. That's why I'm going to go every game like it's a Jordan flu game. Mm. I'm trying to drop a 50 ball.
Correct.
I don't give a damn that I made it. I'm trying to drop a 50 ball. Because guess what? I ain't the only that's in here trying to drop a 50 ball.
That's a fact.
So you got to keep that hunger.
Nah, you're spitting right now, man. And I've been following you since I was in college, bro. So, like, for you, what you're doing now, bro, again, like, we got braids, we got tattoos. It wasn't, you couldn't be mainstream like that, looking a certain way, talking a certain way. Bro, I just moved down here to College Park, Atlanta, bro. You from the area, so, like, to come where you're from, to be mainstream, to be hosting talk shows, that's not normal, like, what you're doing.
It's a look, but you know what it is? I try to tell people they look like us, or, like you say, it's a certain look that they say you have to be like in order for you to make it somewhere. I just say, man, look, you got to be a genuine person, man. You got to be a great person. You can't be somebody that, like, have some bad intentions and all that. No matter what you look like, if you're a good person and you're God-fearing, you're going to be all right. You feel me? We got to change the narrative of what it was. Because don't get me wrong, I'm from the west side of Atlanta. And I know pretty much my peers can attest to this, too. Before we actually took that initiative step, when we all boxed in,
mm-hmm.
when we all only thinking a certain type of way,
100%.
We were just only like, all right, but shit, if it ain't this, all right, got to go back to the first thing again. I'm going to just try only these three things. We're in a different type of world space now that you can be different and not be judged. Like, it was real tough and tense when we was growing up.
That's what I was.
You couldn't do that.
Yeah, even if you wasn't personally boxed in, the world around you was a confinement.
Right.
It's like, you know, they say prison isn't just inside incarceration. You know, our own environments, our own social cues, our social norms, how we treat each other, being smart in class, how we treat the smart kid in class, how we treat the bad kid in class, how you get talked about in your social group. Like, those things confine you. And so I personally didn't have that confinement internally, but externally it was very present and it was very hard to be different. I think institutionalization happens in more than incarceration.
Right.
I think we've all been institutionalized in some way. And I think we do it to each other. When we have certain expectations of men that are unrealistic or unreasonable, and then we expect our men to operate that way, when then you turn around and you go, well, what happened to vulnerability? Right? What happened to softness? Mm-hmm. But then in every circumstance that plays out in our environments, that results in you being harmed, or your family or your brother or your friend being harmed. Mm-hmm. Well, then what are we really saying? It confines us. It causes constructs. And it's not always the man.
Right.
And it's not always, you know what I'm saying? It's not always just the system. The system.
It's conditioned. Like he said, we've just been conditioned. It's like he's saying, without saying, we're scared if you are excellent because you are a threat.
Right. Correct. Correct.
And if you are a threat, you may leave us or you may turn on us. Mm. And it's like, no, this is all you're able to do. But if you succeed in these three, you're supposed to, because
it's the craziest. And that's the craziest part. And Lenny can speak to this because, you know, you're from the BX for real, for real. So you know how it go. Where it's this oxymoronic existence where we herald anybody who makes it out.
Right.
But then we don't look at the very thing we've created that made it hard in the first place to make it out. Like, because what do you do with a threat? You eradicate it.
Yeah, right.
Where we from.
Right.
Right? Right. So our entire environment is hostile. The entire environment is hostile.
You either stand up or you fall.
Right. No, everything is on your back. And, you know, even your mama, in her best mind, in her best light, without limited information, she don't know to treat you that you might need softness from her. She worried about her son.
Right.
So she going to be on you like, you got to make the school. You got to do this. You got to do that. She on you like a drill sergeant. And she don't know that sometimes, you know, what if, you know, maybe you're struggling. Maybe you have a deficiency that they didn't identify in the school. But she just trying to get
maybe you insecure about
something. You insecure, strong,
bro, so much. Right. And then when you finally do make it, like you Harry Potter, the boy who lived, you feel me? And everybody talks about how great you are and how wonderful and special and shiny. And you don't even know how to receive it. And then your girl telling you, like, why you act like that? You don't know how to take a compliment.
Right. Yeah.
You don't know how to be loved on.
I hear that.
Like, girl, I'm still waiting to see if I'm going to make it tomorrow. Like, this is, like,
it's cool.
Like, right. You might hate me tomorrow. I don't know what's going on.
The box is a real thing because we only see what we see, right? Which is a basketball player, an artist, a rapper, a singer, unfortunately, a drug dealer, a hustler. You don't think growing up, especially where we come from, Atlanta, LA, Bronx, you don't think you could be a chef.
Never. You're not thinking that.
You don't think you could be an executive chef. You don't think you could be a photographer for National Geographic. You don't think any of those things.
Right.
And that's because of that box we confined in. So I'm glad that now, I'm not going to lie, people bash social media a lot. I love it because I think people could go out and do what they want. They believe in themselves. They film themselves. And knowing you got so many more streams of income.
Yeah.
You got so many opportunities. There's just so much more that we're now exposed to that takes us out of that box. Because us growing up, we can't do but 1, 2, or 3. And
shout out to BET and NAACP changing with the times. Because I remember when that perpetuation wasn't the same. But thanks to new management, people shifting, these new entities like Tosh, like Britt, coming in and having us in these spaces. Now, the people watching it, those kids can have a different impression about what can be possible.
Big up onto that point, when these were the only avenues that were giving us the voice.
Yeah, correct.
The NAACP. This was our only award.
And there's always
BET, this was our only channel.
That's a fact.
So it was like, we had to start somewhere where it was like, look, they're not going to do for us.
Correct.
But let me at least give you some imagery of that is possible.
And we only had that in Soul Train. On Soul Train, you thought you could either be an artist or a dancer. That's it. No, you didn't think you could be the director.
Right.
You didn't think you could be the executive producer.
Right.
You thought dancer, artist. That's it.
It's so many jobs out here, but we limited ourselves and said it was these three.
Because that's what we were told.
Right.
So we were conditioned.
And not like only that, like you said, we was conditioned, but like you said, we was also conditioned to be scared of being excellent, because if you did something out of them three little things, I don't care what your job is, you could be an electrician.
Yeah.
You're a sucker.
Yeah.
You're a sucker.
I used to intern. When I started interning as a teenager, people in my neighborhood was like, you're a clown. You're going to work for these people for free?
That's crazy.
You're giving up your time, your energy for free? And then those same people, when you start, when you get on, is like, yo, always knew you was going.
Yo.
Hey, man.
Oh, yeah, every single one of them.
I felt
so yeah, because I'm out. Yeah, you're right.
Got to be able to break through that, man. That's discipline.
Because I remember being like always different. Now, this may lead into a different conversation. And I think the question was talking about our road to success. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm never going to tell you that because my road wasn't. The statutes of limitations ain't on it. So what I'll tell you, what I can tell you is that, like he said, I had a community. I come from probably one of the roughest parts of Los Angeles. And I can't say that my hood didn't support me. I don't have that experience. Right. But their support and their love sometimes is a little misguided. right. Like, you know what I'm saying? Doing? Right. Like, we be in the car. Let's say we doing something we ain't got no business. And they be like, hey, like, you really, like, you know, bro, like, you should really go to school, you feel me? Like, you know, you really good at that shit. Like, bro, I saw you did that play. You was doing a sonnet from Shakespeare. I ain't never even heard no shit like that. Like, you are, like, do your stuff, homie. Right. We in the car, though. Right.
Because
if I don't get in the car, that conversation of love isn't going to be there. Because they're going to be like, oh, bro, not.
Yeah.
He thinks he's better
than. But this is the comfort zone, though.
In that car, I always felt comfortable. In this new section of life for me, on this road toward whatever we are headed, of whatever success may be, I've had to get comfortable not being in that car and being okay with however my homies or my hood or my family look at me, not being in that car. But I know there's a kid watching, a young woman watching, a young man watching who like, That car real comfy. That car real, like, even when you go and do something, you ain't got no business. You with your peoples, and they showing you love, and you don't know if you step out that car. It's like money making Mitch. It's like, they gonna love me, man. Like, but you gotta step out on there, because God, look.
Art imitated life, Cuba Gooding Jr.
Cuba.
And Trey. Getting out the car, like, it's a real thing.
To
like,
make your decision and not
most people can't get out that car.
Not saying you, but it's just like, you just get
you don't
out
want
to
let your people
up,
down. You want to feel honorable. You want
it's
to feel
okay.
Yeah, even the idea of like you're less than a woman or less of a man if you don't get in the car.
Right.
Like
right.
That's the box we talk about. And the reality is, some people are scary and just don't want to be in the car in the first place. And that's okay.
And to give Doughboy his props, where he was like, "Bro, I ain't even knocking you, bro. Because what we just did don't feel good.
That's a love. That's
you
love.
Feel me? And I don't want you to go through what I'm feeling, but you know what? I'm gonna take it for all of us.
That's a fact.
You feel me? At least I can live through you if it's something. Somewhat good, I'm gonna just have that energy through you.
Yeah, and that's
you what I'm saying.
That's so, what I'll be right for. The homies who did that, because I had a lot of that. I can't pretend like I didn't have that. I had a lot of that.
Too. I think, and it's crazy that it's basically 50-50. Like, I come from a praying background.
For sure.
But I also know, like he said, man, the risk was taken.
Yeah.
And I also understand that we blessed enough to say that God that allowed us to escape. Because we know some that. That was like, damn, I used to do that. And Shawty got the bad end of the stick. They don't talk about that shit all the time. Like, yeah, we from the streets, and you want to do the good end, but I know some that got the bad part
You never hear that song in the club, do you?
Yeah.
You never hear that record on the radio. Okay. Like, I'm doing, I got Juvenile. Like, you ain't never heard that record.
Mm-hmm.
And I love everybody who speaks for the streets. I love that. You one of mine. So I ain't judging when you make what you make. If you like what Hov say, I'm just a reporter.
Mm-hmm.
I love reporters. But how come we don't report the other stuff? Like, because that's important to know. Like, hey, little buddy, you get in that car, you gotta be ready to stand on that, whatever that is.
We just want you to be mentally prepared and always understand, like he said, not it's just like when I got my car broken into. Man, I'm not knocking that you break in the cars. I broke in the car. What I'm just
allegedly.
I did that. I ain't gonna knock to you. I mean, we ain't do shit break that little petty ass bullshit.
No,
that's bullshit. That's shit.
Hey, look, I ain't snitching on
that shit.
The homie lying on the
show. Yeah, I'm lying on the but it's like it's the principle of saying, you know what? I still have morals and principles even when I did that.
Right.
We want y'all to understand that if you don't have morals and principles, if you don't have great intentions, you will crash, bro.
Correct. You're going to crash.
You just going to crash. And I always understand, man, please make sure that the reward is bigger than the risk. A lot of it's taking way bigger risks, and the reward is real itty-bitty. Now, let's channel that energy. You have the heart to go do whatever you want to go do. Now, let's put that energy over. It's like a chip. Take this shit out of this bad game and then put it over here.
DC, wait, I got a quick little story because that morals and principles thing is a real thing, especially when you're doing some kind of act like that.
Yeah,
when I was young, my mom's got a wallet stolen. And I just remember her in the crib, like, just crying. You know, it's hard to get stuff now. Imagine back then, it's 70s, 80s. She's crying, you know, passport, credit card, everything. And morals and principles, the thief kept the money, mailed the wallet back.
Good man.
Morals and principles. And by the way, thank you. You can have the, that's your reward.
You can have the money, my boy. It's the principle that you understand. This was going
to be. And that to me, I was a kid, but I was like, oh, wow.
Like, this is, if we are talking about the advancement of people of colored people, right? The idea is we know that some of our brothers and sisters are in economic strife. We know that we come from survival. We are byproducts of it. With that said, you know, survival is one of the worst hungers you can ever have. Being hungry, like being hungry, like hungry, homeless, or not even being homeless, but like not knowing where you're going to stay next.
That's that crazy part.
And so I don't, look, I'll judge, but I don't pass sentence. I'm not, you know what I'm saying? Like, I judge it because I got to make sure I'm interfacing with it realistically, but I ain't going to pass no sentence. If you got to, you got to get what you got to get. I would prefer you not. And I wish that there are resources to, that's why we do our philanthropy, our community work, which is what I'm most proud of. We do that community work to show, hey, look, I don't just pop it. I'm here for you. I'm right here for you. You know what I'm saying? But if you got to do what you got to do, you have to understand what you're doing it for and what it's for. You're not on the block for you. Like, you want to block
for yourself. You're mad at it.
And that's the thing. Is like, it's just like anything else. People be like, man, I suck at math. Well, you ain't good at selling drugs.
Right.
You're not very good at that. Neither am I.
Go 9 to 5. You need to be 11 to 8. Because you mad.
Something. But, figure out something.
All right, Malcolm, hold on. I want to come back to you for a second. Because, again, we're talking about the road to legacy, man. You know, you're... The way you came up, man, is different. And you were actually, if I'm not mistaken, bro, you were on the set of Training Day back in the day as a kid, right? Speak about that, like, being in that moment and now coming to where you're at now.
That's crazy. Y'all do y'all research. Y'all the feds.
You know what I mean? We a little something.
No, so, yeah, it's actually a kind of cool story. Like, so Antoine Fuqua, eponymous director of Training Day and every other big movie that we've ever watched, and Denzel Washington was coming and shooting in my neighborhood, in my community. And it was a big deal. Everybody came out. And by the way, it was the first time we had ever seen a black man in power on a set. Like, directing, speaking to what you were saying, like, seeing us in those positions. And I just remember, like, you know, and that's the scene where he come out and he like, King Kong ain't got shit on me.
Right.
And, you know, all the Bloods come out and all that. All the Bloods and then Terry, I guess. And so we all, like, just came out in the neighborhood and then, like, the little apartment that, you know, my cousin and them used to stay in right behind his head. So, like, when people go, like, where you from? I'd be like, oh, I'm from the jungles. They'd be like, where that at? They like... I said, you seen Training Day?
Mm-hmm.
I'm the little boy right in there. And it's funny because I would bug them about the camera equipment. I bugged them about acting. All the homies were scared to like kind of talk to Denzel in the 90s. Like, it's Denzel in the 90s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Different. It's like, right. But I'm like, bro, we done seen all types of stuff.
Right.
Where we from? Like, you know, you 13, seeing body shots, all types. So talking to Denzel was just like, hey, bro. Like, so like when you're in a scene, right? Where the camera at? Like, why, how you know where your face go? Like, and he was just like, hey, look, brother, you know, they'll tell you. And the director here, and he bring Antoine over, and Antoine would explain it. They took the time and gave game.
That's fine.
You know, and, you know, Ethan's scary, but he said one or two things. He was cool. He was scared. He was scared. I ain't gonna lie. But he was a good dude. You can tell he's a, you know, but Denzel. But he good dude. Like, honestly, I would be scared too, bro. When we was, it was different. I'm glad he didn't probably say too much. But
and they really have real Bloods as extras, right? Which is
You better put some Bloods in.
They gotta
the whole thing.
One
of the few.
And
that was the opposite.
Exactly. No, it That's was definitely love, T. Rogers, who ended up going from being the creator of Black Peace Stones, which is the gang in that area, to an activist. And they never talk about that. Like, he literally left the gang life to create opportunities for young people of that community, you know, trying to give back what may have been taken in his youth. And that was one of the things, is hiring extras from the community. Him and Bone do that a lot. And so, yeah, it was probably one of the more transformative moments in my life, because I went, oh, I could do this. And you could be, not only can I do this, you can do this and be a man of the people. Because one thing about Den, I give it to him. Bro was not scared to talk to nobody, interact. When he had to do his stuff, he did his stuff. But him and Antoine, They was solid, bro. That was really like probably one of my first really inspiring moments.
That's fine. That's dope.
Nah, for sure, man. And Denzel definitely a man of power, and we're sitting with a man of power over here. If you don't know this man, you definitely know him as Kodak Lens. He's been capturing Black excellence, you know, with his photo, with his artwork for years now, man. I'm curious, you know, your start is definitely not
you know, the usual, right? You know, you're starting out, you're working with Bad Boy, then you come with Roc Nation, taking over as SVP. Now you transition over into photography as well. Just speak to that journey of legacy.
The journey was really just capturing the moment. I really, with the photography, right? Because it's always been like a hobby. It's always been something on the side. I've always been like a music executive or trying to be one. Starting out street team, transitioning into A&R, transitioning into management. But throughout that whole time, from the 90s to now, I never understood, especially back then, how come nobody was capturing this moment, whatever it was. We'd be in the room and Jay's talking to this new artist named Ja Rule, and then this other 16-year-old kid, young producer, who's the nephew of D&Y from the Rough Riders, named Swiss Beats, coming in, just started making beats. Like, this is what was happening then. And again, I didn't know what Swiss was going to become. Biggest, you know what I'm saying? Ja, everybody went on and did their own thing. But for me, I used to see pictures back in the day of Malcolm X and Sam Cooke, and you know what I mean? Like, together, like, hanging out in Harlem, in the coffee shops. And I just always thought, like, man, like, these guys, these people that I'm working with could be that 20, 25, 30, 40 years from now. So that's what made me pick up the cameras. Like, I'm already here. I'm already working. Why not? You know what I'm saying? And I just kept doing that. And it actually turned into something decent. So.
That's fine.
Yeah, that's dope. I used to hate photos, but then somebody said, photos are proof of existence. So I said, ah, shit, you're right. Hate the damn photo.
Wait, what was that again? Proof of
existence. Proof of existence.
Wow.
Of existence.
And speaking of Hov, I want to come back to that for a second. Obviously, he went viral for his speech, you know, at the Grammys, you know, keep showing up. He went viral for multiple reasons. What I want to focus on is just the power of the words. Keep showing up. Keep showing up. Keep showing up until you're president. Keep showing up until they call you the greatest. For me, that resonated, man, because, like, when you're chasing this legacy, you know, that's our theme, Black Excellence Legacy, you know, chasing that, keep showing up. How do those words kind of sit with you? Because I know you have close ties with him.
Absolutely. Keep showing up resonated with me already because that's the person I am. Obviously, through him, through the company, I mean, I've been with these guys almost 30 years, right? It's real loyalty. But we always showed up for each other. It's funny because I got people in the industry or just like even some friends that be like, you do too much or you show up for too many people or you support or you need to be more exclusive. And I'd be like, nah, like I want to show up. That's even before the speech. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like showing up for people. Mm. This man, we barely knew each other when we first met.
I know
he hit me. He was like, yo, come to set. I want to holler at you. I didn't really know him. I didn't know what he wanted. I was a fan. You know what I'm saying? I respect him. Showed up, right? We was in the van.
No, the realest thing with me and Lenny is Lenny didn't even know who I was or what I did. I was always my boy Tristan Mack Wiles. That's like one of my closest friends. Probably one of my only actor friends, you know. And because of him, I've gained way too many actor friends. But he was my actor friend. And people don't know Tristan's a project, but so he from Staten Island. Like, I mean, him and his brother, they have their initials carved in the brick in that side. Like, he really project baby, but he holds himself so classy. He's really like someone I admire, you know. And Lenny and him were always really close because, you know, Hov and Tristan. And I was always just like, I was the like quiet ghetto hood. I was always around. And, you know, like that one guy in the crew that you like, hey, we don't know if he means us harm or not.
Right.
But we know not to mess with this guy because that guy long time. And Lenny was one of the few people who always spoke to me. He was one of the few people that always acknowledged me when I was in the room. We talking about 17, 18 years old. I'm fresh out. And he always, hey, brother, how you doing? Like, he was sitting the whole conversation with me. Everybody else in the club, bottle, whatever, he would acknowledge me. And I don't know if anybody is watching this. Whenever you meet people, a group of people, you never know who nobody going to be. Because later, he's like, you on my favorite show. I'm like, yeah, bro. I'm like, hey, you want to come to set? He's like, hell yeah, I'm going to come to set. And he's like, man, we hadn't even built that independent rapport yet. But I always remembered him acknowledging me, sitting with me, giving me game. And it didn't matter that I wasn't, you know, up. You feel me?
That's important, man. All those little things are important. People come in the room. Let's say you come in to see DC. You come in the room, he with his 10 people. People will come in the room and go right to DC. And they won't even acknowledge the other people. Like, that's weird and crazy to me. So I learned that early on. I would be in a room. Tata, Jay will be there. There'll be like another big executive or actor or whatever. And I'll come out, you know, I'll try to speak to everybody and they won't say nothing. They're like, Tata, Jay will be like, yo, that's Lenny. That's our brother. You know what I'm saying? Because like, and it's just a respect thing, like in general. But I always show respect to everybody in the room. DC's man, who I don't know he does, is just as important to me as DC is and saying, you know what I'm saying? So that's important, man, showing up and showing respect.
And it was genuine.
It's a respect thing. And plus, it's business too, though. You dig what I'm saying? Like you said, bro, if If you here, that means you meant to be here. You back here for some. I'm not back here saying, who the f*** these n****s is. Nah, what's up, bro? Because I was invited, you invited. Right. So shit, now it's us. Because we got to make sure all of us leave here together.
Correct. Correct.
You dig? That's just how we is. Like how you said, like I'm with him, but he's going to crash out by him.
Yep.
That's how I was. I'm not a shit starter. Yeah. But if I'm with you, man, if somebody, man, hey, boy, they mess with us.
It's a fact.
But those little things get overlooked. You know what I'm saying? So that's why you got to lead by example.
World to me, though. Thank you about that, man. For real.
We were talking about, like, what are the qualities of somebody that exemplifies Black excellence? I'm noticing a trend. Being a good person. Showing up. Being there.
Being
speaking
genuine,
to people. When you come in the room, being a good person. Like, these are all the trends that you guys have exemplified during your career, and it shows that you guys are getting the fruits of your labor, you know? So I'm glad to see that. But we all know that road of legacy isn't easy sometimes. It weighs a lot on us. You spoke earlier. It's like, as a man, we're raised out of survival. It's like, we're constantly on goal mode. It's kind of like our toxic trait, right? We're constantly on goal mode. You got to work. You can't really show emotion. You can't be vulnerable. How do you guys carry that day-to-day being in the positions that you are, and how are you holding up with it?
Well, the women as well. Like, it's not just us in survival mode, because it's, man, these sisters, man, they be fighting a lot. And it's crazy because, like, you know, I grew up with a mother who never took the position of, oh, I'm a woman, so, you know, I should be exempt from certain things. She was like, no, we all getting up and getting it. We all getting it. Yeah. We all get. And I think that might have warped me a little bit, because now when I look at certain young men who aren't men yet, young princes and young knights who ain't kings yet, and I see that they don't know how to take that on, I'm like, mama, mark y'all out.
Right.
like, my mama harder than a lot of you. So I don't want to take that from this. It's like, they are also in survival modes in their own journey, in their own ways. But for me, it's just learning, like we talked about getting in that car. It's learning to be comfortable outside of the car. Because you be in survival mode so long, that becomes your normal mode of communication and your normal mode of comfort. So it's like, it's easier for me not to talk to people in a room. Lenny actually educated me in that. You know, it's easier for me not to want to speak and not to want to be comfortable and like, to be like, yeah, separatist from, like, I'm over here, y'all over there. But for business, for even for just a healthy relationship with people, I'm learning to be more like, oh, hey, how you doing? Like, it's not, everything isn't hostile and trying to get you.
Yeah, right.
You know, maybe this space is for me.
Right.
Maybe God did put me here. Like you said, you here for a reason. Really accepting that has been my personal journey with this stuff. It's like, oh, like I'm supposed to be in this room. Like everybody ain't, you know, even if we don't share the same morals or whatever, like we sharing this space right now. So let's make the best of it. So that's the most difficult thing for me.
Day to day, you got to be willing to embrace whatever coming for you or what you about to step into. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know y'all. I ain't seen y'all life. Was already doing this, but today our lives have joined. You dig what I'm saying? So we have to be really ready to embrace whatever. Just like when you walk in the room, I'm speaking to everybody because I got to know where I'm at, what energy I'm about to involve myself with, even if it's not something I'm with. It's like, oh, okay, cool. I know where to channel it. I know who's with me. I know what's going on. Okay, they're a great spirited person. Okay, he a little down. I'm gonna try to figure him out.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So I'm reading the room so I can know how to channel my energy. So if it's not something I need to be pouring all out into, it's wasteful. Because at this point in our lives, we want to give so much. I like being around great wisdom when it's like, you think you can have this conversation with everybody every day? No.
No, you cannot.
You can't have these type of conversations every day. So we'll be working all day, every day, and then that month later, we'll have a sit down and we're just discussing stuff that we are already doing, affirmations, and making sure that we're doing what we're doing. And then it's like, you know what? We're all on the right path. Let me hear what you got to say about whatever you're dealing with, because I'm learning through your situation. So it's wisdom that we're crossing paths with. So it's like every day, you just want to stay prayed up. You know what I'm saying? Be patient and also understand that, you know, you have a purpose in wherever you place your feet. God definitely has a purpose for you. And don't be emotional about, you know what I'm saying, really acting off impulse, man. Because like you said, when we come from, man, acting off impulse, man, get you in trouble, man. You feel me? And just like how you said, it's easy to not speak to you, man. That's
very
shit.
Much so.
Easy.
Very much so.
That's super easy.
Very much so.
But that for don't first. Help us.
No,
do that help us?
No, it
don't help us.
It does.
Mentally, healthy-wise, or nothing, because at the end of the day, we don't even know who each other is or what we're capable of. We're not saying, you know what? We need each other.
When that happens, right, it stagnates us, right? Because now ego jumps in, right? You start thinking, oh, he too good, or he don't want to say nothing. He don't want to. Now the ego jumps in. Now you start thinking, you start making something else up in your head. And, you know, people love to make up their own story. And then it just, right, it keeps going on and on and on. for me, it's more about like trying to be fearless, man, and trying to be transparent. There's going to be times that, you know, he knows me personally, like I'll try to help. If I can't help, I'm going to be transparent about it, where most people are going to dodge you. They're going to curve you. They're going to say they can, then they know they can't. Like, it's like, I've had people be like, man, you, we couldn't make that happen, but man, you tried, and I respect that. Where like the other 15 people didn't call back or lied, or so it's just like being fearless, man, being transparent, being genuine, and that's what I deal with on a day-to-day basis, man.
Nah, for sure, man. DC, I want to circle back to you, man, because I'm a father, man. I got a 6-year-old. So, you know, when you're balancing work, you're balancing the traveling. Like, I'm literally flying back tomorrow, picking my son up. We got school on Monday. And, like, I noticed with kids, man, they don't want to hear you tired. They don't want to hear this. All they care about is, like, you showing up. You know what I'm saying? So I want to get your perspective. You guys as well, your experience with kids, and just how you continue to show up for them, even when you're dealing with the trials and tribulations, and just having to keep showing up for your job, for your team, things like that.
I mean, you know, it comes with it. You know, that's why I feel like whatever you're doing now, it has to be impactful. You know what I'm saying? So you can have the schedule that you know that is required in order for you to still be a father and still be a mogul, still be an activist. So it's like we have so many jobs that, you know, we take on, and it's on us to figure it out. Where it's like, all right, what's important? Which is being a father is the most important thing. Then also you got to go provide in order for us to, you know what I'm saying? I'm sorry that my job requires me to leave, but if I do leave, it's going to make sure that whatever I earn is going to be, we can put this up for 7, 8, 9 months. Sure. Woo, woo, woo. So when I do not go to work and I'm like, you know what? I don't want to go to work for the next 6 months. I only want to contribute being a father because I worked hard for me to be able to do that. And then, you know, I know that is important for my kids. Because if we work, we're going to allow somebody else to raise our children.
Yeah, and what's that for? Lenny can answer this question better than I can.
Yeah, man. I have 3 children, man, and everything, you know. It's about balance, right? And that's probably one of the hardest things that we all have to deal with, balancing work life and family life. But they serve as our inspiration, right? They serve as our drive. They serve as our ambition. And again, we have to do it, right? We, as men and as fathers, we're providers. You know what I'm saying? And I know I grew up, again, no knock on my dad. He was around, but he couldn't provide. He couldn't pay with my mom and my grandmother to go to school. So my grandmother, which is his mom, is the one that partnered with my mother and, like, raised me. If I had to get, you know, pay for school, they pay for it. If I had to get co-signed, they co-signed. So, like, I want to make sure that I'm the same representation for my kids, because I hear too many stories, too many beautiful women that I know that are, like, dad ain't around or the dad don't take care of them. And I just, you know, again, that's not, I'm not here to judge that. But as far as me, I want my kids to know that I was there, you know what I'm saying? Not just financially, but as a support system, you know what I'm saying?
And I'm right there with Lenny, like when it does come time to be a parent. And I think parental roles take on more than just children sometimes, right? Like being a matriarch or a patriarch or running a system of any hierarchical status, you know, people confuse power and confuse control with like position, right? But in fact, it's responsibility. In fact, it's knowing that, and knowing that balance is what makes you a great leader, a great father, a great mother, a great son, even a great daughter. It's knowing that. And so for me, it's reminding yourself, what is the purpose of all this? What am I doing here? Right. Like, what is all this for?
Got to be impactful.
Because if it ain't impactful, if it's not going where it's supposed to be going, if my energies or monies or resources or education or these life experiences that were so hard to get don't go to the right people's, persons, or infrastructure, then it was a waste. So for me, that's what I would be concerned with in that situation, is making sure that, yeah, I'm getting this money, but that money could get blown through if your kid hates you. You know what I mean? Like, it resents their positioning. Yeah. So, like, you got to pour into that. It's the moment where you just went out with Baby and Future and you just had all these girls in the club and you did all that. But then it's like, do you get up and drive your kid to school?
It's like, think about, like,
do you do that?
It's
right?
Like Lamar. I think about it like the Martin Luther King effect, because I always think of greatness, and I'm like, all right, Martin Luther King, if you put yourself in the Martin Luther King space, but his kids end up following his footsteps because it was a set boundary, like, all right, I knew what daddy was sacrificing. Right. I knew what daddy was doing. Yeah. Daddy was more powerful. It was bigger than us. It was for the people. We got to continue that journey. Yeah. He taught us well. He taught us right. So it's like,
they must have cared a lot about him for that. He must have put into them
love. So when I go home, it's more than just being a father. I make sure my kids know what love feel like. Yeah. Nurturing love. Like, you know, like I probably tell my kids I love them more than I call their name.
Yeah. So, Malcolm, I want to circle back with legacy, man. How did you shape kind of how you wanted your legacy to be?
I mean, that was from the dribble. I got lucky. My mama, like, you know how people be like, oh, yo, we came from nothing. I can't say that. That's cap. Like, I came from something. Like, my family, like I told you, that prayed up legacy, they had already set the foundation spiritually for whatever it is I was going to be. Matter of fact, I said earlier, you know, like, there was nothing I could do to deny what was mine. Like, because thank God for them prayer warriors in my family. So they laid, I'm operating off a whole lot of interest, spiritual interest for them. And I don't pretend like I don't know that, because I did everything in my power to not do the right thing. So legacy has been just kind of almost genealogical for me. Like, it's just, it is what it is. It has never not been that. Even when I was in the streets because of survival, I always knew, like, I'm doing this to get to be. Like, I'm not doing this because it feeds my ego, because I'm trying to get to this next step because I know how it go. Whatever I gather is not going, I may not get to enjoy it, right?
Not
I may
me.
Not see.
It's not for you.
It's not for me. And right. Being a vessel is a big thing. Like, that's the big thing for me. Being a vessel, like, I may not get to see the promised land. You know what I'm saying? But I would like to. It'd be nice. But maybe my promised land is seeing my son not go hungry like I went home. Maybe my promised land is seeing my wife be happy. And know that she got a husband that will do any and everything for her, include be present in her things that may not feel as big as my things. Making her, like, that may be my win. It's peace at home. And they will get the jet skis and the mansions, and they'll get to just wake up and decide, my son, my daughter, my future, they'll be able to wake up and go, maybe I do want to be an archaeologist. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe I do want, because I've provided the land, the groundwork,
yeah,
for that. And that, to me, has always been what I'm doing it. No. And so when it get hard and you look up and they don't appreciate you for this, and you don't know why you haven't been given this or that, or why the money ain't coming like this, or my push through is knowing, well, look, it wasn't for me anyway.
Right.
I got to get there for them. So when I get there, I get there. So that's my personal relationship with legacy.
Absolutely, man. And I love the way you're thinking with that. It's like, peace in the home, your family loving you unconditionally. That is legacy. It doesn't have to always be the fancy glitz and glamour, the fame. And that's the thing I love about the NAACP Image Awards, right? We're highlighting people not just who are, like, famous to have these huge accolades. These are people behind the scenes in production, people behind the scenes making executive decisions, who are even putting these icons in place to be who they are. That is true legacy, and that's why I appreciate the NAACP Image Awards.
Yeah, they thing with the awards this time. It went crazy.
Oh, that's because you nominated?
It wasn't even that. It was just like they just shed light on everybody.
Yeah, they got the cultural awards.
It was just like everybody. And it was just like, you know what? That was, I want to say that was missing, because you already know how the industry go. Yeah. They got their favorites. Yeah. They really not tapped into what the streets is saying. These are people that's backed by the corporates. Yeah. We talking about really people that's in the streets. And as you like, oh, yes. Yes, this is, we have to highlight these people. Well, they celebrities. It's just their criteria of celebrity.
Yeah. Right, but even the awards, I think they have this whole section of awards that's for just social activism, yeah, philanthropy. Mm-hmm. Like, I love that part of the NAACP.
Because it's educational. It's informal.
Yeah,
it's
correct.
People like you need, like you said, go Google this person.
Right,
you
exactly.
You don't know what they done? They are pioneers of the game.
Exactly. So that's kind
of... We need that inspiration.
Nah, we need it. And it's like, again, watching that show as a kid growing up, that and the BET Awards, but specifically the NAACP, watching that as a kid, for me, it's like, I thought for you to make it, you got to be this rapper. You got to be this athlete, this and that. So when I'm seeing people, oh, you can be successful and work behind the scenes in production, in marketing. I got my start in production, but I wouldn't even have known that without watching this award show growing up. And it's like, oh, so I can get there this way. I don't necessarily
have to. NAACP is our Grammys if we treat it as such.
Come on now.
It's like how we put the Grammys on a pedestal of saying where we want to be and where we need to be. Culturally, NAACP is where we want to be and where we need to be, because mm-hmm. not only that, we're highlighting people of our skin color. You dig what I'm saying? And we're highlighting people who we need to know, because we have to be historians of the culture that we're in. If we don't know where it came from or the present or where it could go, we didn't even know we can get this far. So it's like we have to, you know what I'm saying, be honorable to the people who paved the way for us to even be here. Because it wasn't, like you say, BET was the only channel we had. Now, everybody need a little game of BET. It's a BET sprinkle in every network. That's what they don't want to say.
Yeah, correct.
It's co-joined with BET.
Correct.
Sprinkled.
Correct.
In every network.
Correct.
When we was being denied on saying, nah, 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 nah. BET was like, we'll take it. Yeah. Now they like, let's do what BET doing. So it's like, if we just take heed and saying, you know what? Not saying we're boycotting other things. If we just say, let's take this as serious as we take others.
Yep. Let's hold it to the same standard.
That's yeah, all. Correct.
Same excellence. Correct. We're the ones creating, right, the culture. We're creating the trends. We're creating the fashion, music, acting, like everything. Like, right. Let's just hold it to the same standard.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mike, I'm curious, how's it inspired you?
Man, just it's a barbecue. It's where we all just come, you know, and commune, where someone who works in, you know, activism can go commune with Kevin Hart or, you know what I mean? Or someone, some kid who did, like, there's a kid who was nominated for an Emmy, ironically, who's deaf. I think his name was Davion Woodard. Davion Woodard, to see him nominated next to the girl who play on... Lele in there, like... I love that those kids are next to, like, you know, executives and, right. and like, yeah. That's just dope to see us all just come together. I love a barbecue. I love a barbecue, man. That's what I, that's
it's aspirational.
What I
it's inspirational. Mm-hmm. And it just motivates you, man, to know that people of color are doing things that I want to do or inspire me to do. You know what I'm saying? To make me figure it out or feel like, yo, I could really accomplish that.
Yeah. And see my friends acknowledge, like my homegirl, yeah. Gail Bean, Eamon Joseph, they all nominated and they've been going hard for years at their craft.
Cause that's motivation too. A lot of people don't know how they are going to get inspired. A lot of people don't know where they get their motivation from. You feel me? So when you see it, it's not saying, oh, you need the recognition. It's like, no, you just recognizing that their artwork works. Yeah. Sometimes people just want to know it works. You feel me? So it's like, it works? Yeah, you good. All right.
All right, cool.
I can keep creating.
Yeah, I can do this.
I don't knock none of the other award shows, but this one, we don't get overlooked. You know what I'm right. saying? And that's the most important part. Because a lot of other places, we do get overlooked. We know we have the best performance or yeah. the best whatever it is. And it's like, here, we're not going to get overlooked.
Yeah. Nah, yeah. for sure. Like you said, man, it's that cookout, man. You're talking about 55 years of excellence. Our grandma, aunties, everybody, the mamas, we all grew up watching this show. So it's really like we all get to come together, all generations.
55 years of a platform that we can showcase our talent.
Yeah, seeing all them beautiful black people
knocking
on
the
that
dope.
Carpet.
Come on now, they going to open it.
That's a fact.
You know what I'm saying?
You guys, as you guys were kind of like growing up, trying to shape your legacy, I'm curious, what are some things that influenced you and kind of, you know, and expose you to things that you didn't know was out there for you as you kind of went on this journey?
Wealth management for me. That's what I would have been doing. I would have been doing, like, you know, managing portfolios, legacy. Once again, legacy. You know, making sure everybody's... Because money, what we don't talk about with money. And when people say, oh, we love the money. Like, they talk about the physical currency, which is a debt note. It's not... Money's not necessary. Yeah. I really love educating our community. I love setting up things. Because, like, once you understand that money is fluid, in that it has a velocity, and if that's how that this thing works, that was a huge discovery along my journey that I would not have known if I wasn't in proximity of people like Lenny, like yourself, where we just talk about it, where we just, because asymmetric information is how they keep us out of things. That's how they kept us out of educational institutions, out of financial institutions, because we don't know nothing. But once you find that out, you're like, ooh, I could have done this, you know what I'm saying? And funny enough, just because I'm in acting or because I do music just like DC, or if I'm in behind the scenes like Lenny, it's all just starter and seed capital to invest. Like, we all should be investors. Everybody can be an investor. Like, everybody can manage their wealth. And that's what I kind of liked about it. It's like, we could all participate in that and just share information and build. So wealth management would have been my thing. I don't know. What about you?
For me, working in the educational system, man, I didn't get to go to college, man. You know, I didn't have the money. I didn't have the resources. My mom couldn't afford it. And then she made just... too much enough for me to not get financial aid. And then I got an opportunity to go, you know, on tour. So I went right into the music business, right? Sort of like an athlete going right out of high school into the pros. And so, but it is one of my, I won't say regret, I just really wish I was able to do it. So that's why I encourage, you know, my oldest daughter, she has a master's. My son is in UC Davis right now, studying, you know what I'm saying, in science engineering. And I have a 16-year-old that, you know, hopefully she'll be next to go to college. So for me, and now I have the, like I said, I did the program at Harvard University with my brother IDK. It's like a music program. And now I'm doing it at Howard University. And I'm going to concentrate more on HBCU. So, like, I never thought back then that I'd be doing music programs at schools when I'm not even educated. You know what I'm saying? And I love it. I love giving back.
Formally educated.
Formally educated.
Formally educated.
You educate. I mean, because you can educate yourself.
Yeah.
Because you got great teachers. It's all about where you go to school.
Correct.
The Bronx educated me like it educated y'all. There you go again. I'm sorry.
Ain't nobody been in that class. Ain't nobody been in that. That's a nice school.
Can we acknowledge one thing before this conversation is over?
What?
That the music, the biggest genre in the world, the music you guys live and die for every day, started in my borough in the Bronx. And
we'll give you that. We ain't never.
I'm just making sure it's clear.
But technically, the biggest and best producer of all time is Dr. Dre. So we just gonna move on.
Currently running it,
Atlanta.
Oh, you know what I'm saying?
Just so we clear, you know.
Nah, for sure, man. And I want to come back to you for a second, man, because we talking NAACP, talking excellence and the standard. The gold couch is something obviously that has set a standard in the industry. Can you kind of just speak about how that came about? And
absolutely. It actually, the gold couch came about. It's called the gold standard, but it's obviously based around the gold couch. It started off in a silly way. We have these glass walls so everybody can see inside your office. And I just wanted something cooler. I didn't want to have the same average, silly furniture that everybody got, the standard furniture. So I did that. But then it became something of excellence, right? Then I started focusing on my peers, my friends, people that I admire, people that inspire me, people I look up to. And that's what it became. It's like, Malcolm, I call Malcolm, like, yo, please pull up, man. This is somebody I look up to. You're somebody I admire. And people admire you. I want you to come on here. And it's almost like it's telling you a little story. I get a quote and a phrase. The book is coming out soon on Random House, Rock Lit. But yeah, man, it's for inspiration. And it's like, it's funny because now I see people, and it used to be, yo, I want to send you my music, or yo, help me, put me on. They'd be like, yo, I'm going to get on that couch one day. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, because they see it, it's inspiring, you know what I'm saying? And I like to highlight people that have, you know, made a way for themselves, man, and paved the way to do whatever they want. Barber, photographer, actor, comedian, it don't matter.
Nah, I'm curious, man, what does one have to possess to get the opportunity to get highlighted?
Inspire me, you know what I'm saying? Motivate me. And that's not.
I ain't inspire that, you?
Yeah. DC, you hard to, you know what I'm saying?
Wait, you ain't making time to BET? No, I ain't made to no count.
You know how hard it is to get the DC Young Fly?
Yeah, he got here late, so he probably ain't gonna show up to the count.
I ain't get here. Traffic. Because people are down here in my city.
So you starting to feel what that LA life like?
Oh, let me tell you something. Yeah. I don't know what it is about y'all expressway, but y'all drive super fast.
When there's no traffic.
I'm curious, I'm gonna come back to you, Malcolm, on Black women in Hollywood. I want you to give your flowers to some Black women in Hollywood, and I also want you to speak on, do you feel like Black women are getting enough praise?
Black women never get enough flowers. Black women never get enough praise. Like, don't ask me, I'm biased. I feel like they should get praised every day, every hour, every minute, always. Like, it's never enough. Because what they've had to endure, we could never pay them back. We could never pay them back. So I'm the wrong nigga to ask. I'm the wrong man to ask.
I'm the wrong human.
He's the wrong individual to ask.
I'm the wrong to ask because I feel like, of course, they don't get enough flowers. Of course, they don't get it because they should get one every day. And if I get a daughter, she get flowers every day.
Right.
And even when she get she walk a little bit, flowers. Right. You breathe, black flowers. You know, just because it's so difficult. You got to pay.
But we got to have their back so it can be a little leeway so they can feel some sense of security.
Correct.
You feel me? Because like you say, the industry is full of smoke and mirrors and everybody using their position as, you know, and when you come from the streets, you don't care about that.
No.
So that's why when you got to come in, you got to be able to change the narrative a little bit. Yeah. So one person who I know that don't get a lot of recognition for sure, but she's dope actress. A dope director. Oh my goodness. Probably one of the best female directors I've ever worked with. I wish.
Okay.
I'm about to give you one.
Okay.
She's a dog. I'm talking about dog. She wanna see you be great. Tasha Smith.
Oh, you know, she hard. Yeah Tasha.
Oh man, yeah. When I say I love Tasha Smith, man. Oh man, probably she harder than some of these men
out here.
That's directed. When talk. I say cold.
And her story's crazy.
She's fire. She's from that. Crazy. She itty gritty. She want to say, I want to see that masculinity on camera.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but we finna get it. So I feel like she don't get that recognition because she did a couple of those. She directed my episode of BMF. So if I can say the reason why it turned out the way it turned out, it was because of Tasha Smith.
Yeah, no, Tasha's actually crazy. That's a good one because she's always flowers and she's been through so much.
Yeah.
Like, we don't talk about her story.
Right.
Getting to where she is crazy. Like, I heard Tasha's story before I met her. Right. And then I met her and she was nothing but gracious and sweet and nice. And every black female actress I ever met been like, yeah, I went to Tasha's school of acting. And I'm like, what? She got a school to act? She do every, she just cold. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Lena Waithe, Melina. There's a lot. We could be here all day saying names, but yeah.
She employ people.
Yeah,
she do. She do. And she's also BET friendly. Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely, man. You were bringing up BNF, man. I want to circle back to Power. You obviously work with a phenomenal black woman who plays 50 Cent mama in the show. I want to just talk to your experience, man. Give her flowers real quick. Man,
Patina, I can't cuss, right? Patina Miller. I want to say, you know what I want to say? Patina MFN Miller, okay? Yeah, that woman, you want to talk about underrated and flowers and all that. That woman, y'all, I don't even, that's a Tony Award winning. Every day, I got to be honest with y'all. I can't wait for her to be nominated next year. Like my good friend Gail Beam is this year.
Gail.
Because those women are so good. They're so good that we're taking for granted how good they are. Right,
Loretta Devine.
Come on, man. Been here forever. Forever. You know, one of my closest friends, like Patina is of the same ilk to me as those women, of Angela Bassett. And she's up there. That's who she is. And we just waiting on everybody else to catch up. That's it. Mm-hmm. Same thing.
That's her name, Loretta Devine.
Loretta Devine.
When I say probably the best theatrical drama actress I've seen, like even when she's in the movies, I'm like, man, she's too powerful for that scene, man. She's taking over. It's like
original dream girl.
It's like you want to be in a scene with her to try to see what that feel like. Yeah. So it's like I feel like even like one of those queens that we named. Don't get enough recognition. Whereas, like you say, that what comes with being a historian of the culture. We must know how did we get here. Everybody played a part. Everybody played a part.
Speaking of Loretta in original Dreamgirls, Miss Cheryl Lee Ralph.
Mm-hmm.
That woman, I'm glad she's getting her flowers. She deserved more. Mm-hmm. That woman, like, because she's been supporting the community and fighting for people with AIDS. Since she was like being on Moesha, like back when she was on Moesha, back when she was on stage, she's always been a community activist as a woman and an amazing stage actress. So her and Loretta, you're right. Like, we could do this all day. Everybody, man, they amazing.
That's a fact, man. It's Women's History Month, man. So we can't do enough of giving women our flowers. You know what I'm saying? So, and to circle back for a second, you know, we were talking about, you know, as a black man, how hard it is. But I think, you know, women make it easy for us. I can't stress that enough. Like, black women make it easy for us. I was going through something recently, and I want to shout this young lady out. And, you know, I was dealing with a bad time, and I was like, you know, it's all good. Like, I'm built for it. I'm built for it. I'm good. Like,
you really want to cry.
Like, I'm built for it.
Jesus, you really
You know what I'm saying?
In the car.
Chest be hurting on the inside. But I was like, nah, like, it's cool. I'm built for it. And her response was, she was like, God built you to be strong, but he didn't build you for stress. So you don't need to handle this on your own. And I feel like a lot of times, black men, it's like, no, that's cool. I got it. I don't want to talk about it. I'm good. I'm going to handle it. And it's like, it's black women who help nurture us and guide us through these rough times. So I'm curious for you guys, whether it be personally, dating, family, who are some women in your lives right now that have just been helping you get through your days?
Okay, my mama. You know what I'm saying? My children. You know what I'm saying? Just understanding that you have to, the man have to be a nurturing, have to attain the nurturing spirit from the woman. You dig what I'm saying? We have to learn it because we don't have that in our, we impulsively get aggressive. You dig what I'm saying? We don't know how to tell you that hurt, but we know how to show with action that it hurt.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So I feel like we so, you know what I'm saying, conditioned to go off actions instead of being more vulnerable and communicating. A lot of black men don't know how to communicate. We don't know how to talk. We don't know how to say what's bothering us. We just act off emotions. You dig what I'm saying? I heard a saying that said, a man will hurt you by his actions, but a woman will hurt you by her words. Because you believe a woman. You believe her. If she say anything, you believe her. You ugly. I must be. You fine. You really like this. You feel what I'm saying? So it's like, you feel me? That's just how we are as men.
Oh, yeah.
You feel They can make or break you. But like you said, go back to when you really have that woman, that solid foundation, bro, it helps us as a man to bring that king energy out.
Yeah, the person who's done that for me a lot over the past, like, we probably known each other darn near a decade now, is, I'm going to say her name again because it's what it is, Gail Beam. She's nominated this year. She better win. Bro, that's been my dog. When you talk about my dog, for sure. And she a real AT alien for sure. So right. She like, she really from here. Gail is probably one of the women I've learned so much from about just friendship and my own masculinity through her feminine and from her family and how much they love each other. Cause I didn't come from, you know, I don't have a bunch of brothers and sisters like she do. She got a bunch of brothers and sisters. And there's a lot of men in her family that you like, you watch how they interact with the women. And it's just such a beautiful, like, bro, she's really, when I'm going through something, I call her. Yeah. And sometimes she called me before I even knew I was going through something and then tell me I'm going through something. And I'm like, no, I'm not. And then call her the next day and be like, dang, I think you was right because I flipped the other day. I know. And she going to be just like that. I told you.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, ain't nothing like a black woman's. I told you. No. That discernment is spiritual, man. I don't know where they get it from. I don't know why they got it. It's scary sometimes. Mm-hmm. But when it's wielded for good, that gets you through some things. Yeah.
Yeah, man. So, yeah. For me, it's probably my daughters first and foremost. Just for being so understanding, you know what I'm saying? It's not easy having a father that, you know, is constantly on the road and constantly working. Even if they know you're working for them, it's still, you know what I mean? Like, it's still a big part of you that's taken away from them being in this industry. So my daughters, woman by the name of Shari Bryant, started out with us as an intern. Now she's a co-president of Roc Nation. Started out at 16. She's the president of Roc. That is crazy.
Tiny lady, you know, big old office.
Which is... woman by the name of Shauna Ayers, who like we met back in the day when we started, and now full circle, we still working on things till today. Shayla Cowan, who's a really dope.
Woodpeckers, Shayla.
Shayla?
Is that Woodpeckers?
Yeah, Shayla. Yeah, Will Shayla. Yeah. She's a Hollywood executive who's just incredible, pours into me, calls me all the time. She'll be like, I saw you out the last few days. Did you get an IV this morning? Like, you know, like stuff like that, man. It's like, average person don't care. The average person gonna be like, when's the next party? When's the next event? When's the next bag? And it's like people that pour into you, you know what I'm saying? So there's a lot, man. I could be here all day, but I mean, those are just some of the few that I really look up to and really admire.
Absolutely, man. I love that. Like I said, man, they make it easier for us, man. And I bring it up to say, like, I'm a father, bro. I know Lenny's a father. You're a father now. You happen to be a father and a mother now. So I just wanted to check in with you, bro, on how you're doing. I know you're dealing with a lot, you know, trying to step in and be there for your kids, be there for your career, be there for your family. How are you holding up?
I mean, just staying prayed up. That's the key to it all. You know what I'm saying? It ain't no recipe or no, you know what I'm saying, no secret ingredient. You just got to stay prayed up.
And I ain't gonna lie, bro. You inspired me.
I appreciate
you. You did. I ain't gonna lie. I know it's tough, like you bringing up, you know, whatever, but I'll say one thing that came out of that situation that maybe you aren't aware of, or maybe you are. Maybe it went viral. I don't know. I'm not an internet person like that. But I saw one thing. When somebody asked you about that question on some platform somewhere, and I discovered more about you in that first 5 minutes mm-hmm. that you responded than I have your whole entire career. Mm-hmm. Knew you was talented, knew you shine. When I found out your spiritual wherewithal, mm-hmm. when I found out your purpose, mm-hmm. when you spoke so much life after experiencing so much loss, I was telling my sister, and I was like, bro, I can't wait to meet bro, because I didn't even know Buddy was like that. Like, I didn't even know he had it like that. And you don't know, forever in my book, you always, like, if I get some money, something going on, you know I'm calling, you know, where I wouldn't have known that you had that. But you was vulnerable, you was honest, and you prayed, and I learned about your family and that your background spiritually, and I was like, oh, he not, it's a joke, but it ain't funny.
Right. Yeah.
You dig? Right. And I don't know if anybody told you that, but you inspired me to get through my personal situations. I lost my auntie, lost my homeboy, literally that same, and I was like, oh, I needed that. I got to work. I didn't know I was going to church today.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you don't know where church going to find you. You know what I mean? You don't know where the word going to find you in. I don't know if you know, but that was hard. I don't know.
I appreciate it. That's why you gotta with this term called life, you got to take accountability and you got to have some form of acceptance. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people get frustrated off things they know damn well they can't change. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And then use it for an excuse to act impulsively.
Yeah.
Like, this is why I'm doing this. And be like, why? Because that happened. That don't make it right, though, my boy. You feel what I'm saying? So by me being from the streets, I have that form of act. But then the spirituality... It's like, you know how you hold a little boy head and he just swinging?
Yeah.
And he just swinging.
Yeah.
That is spirituality, just holding my head. Now, when people be thinking that it's roses. Nah, I'm swinging. But the spirit ain't letting me go hit nobody. Oh, I won't harm myself.
Amen.
So sometimes you got to swing because you're frustrated. Then once they realize you ain't swinging no more.
Yeah, stupid.
You know what I mean? I know I got that spiritual guidance that's going to hold me when I'm ready to swing. So it's like, you know, you strong and I understand God using me. I know that. Like you say, I know I'm finna get up out of here. I don't know when, but I know that. So I got to make sure that my generations up under me is well taken care of. And also understand this too, because I read the Bible. By me being obedient, I'm making sure the generations after me is taken care of. And somebody going to mess up. But by me being obedient, we're reaping the benefits because people before us was obedient.
Yeah.
They was obedient.
More than we was.
Way more than we were.
More than we was.
So we reaping what they went through. That's and by them being obedient, I'm like, all right, this is just part of my journey. So I understand that. I get it. So when the generation up under me, they're like, man, you know what granddaddy went through, man?
Yeah.
Granddaddy had to stand on business, man. Granddaddy, da-da-da. My mama, my auntie, my uncle, all of them went through it. But, man, granddaddy, everybody really don't know how granddaddy feels.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
And he don't even know how to express how he feels.
He don't even know how to express how he feel, but how he handled the situation made sure that we kept God in our life. We made sure we stay appreciative. Now we know that we really can go through anything if granddad did. You see what I'm saying? So it's
12 more kids than you have.
You dig what I'm saying? So it's definitely hard, and it's definitely an ongoing forever battle.
Yeah.
You feel me? But when you staying on God's path and you staying on course, you will be okay. You will be all right. He's going to grant you the energy to keep going. But then we have the craft to use our emotions to even be greater. So when I'm speaking and when I'm talking, that's why I said I don't like to be cut off with wisdom, because it's coming from a place where I have to get it out. And when I'm getting cut off, I get frustrated because I'm already here mentally. But I have to be here spiritually for all of us. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, it's a journey. And I'm glad that my people were praying people. And I'm glad they put me in the church. Because I'd even be at the house and I'd be like, man, ain't no what if I wasn't like this. I know where I'd be if I wasn't like this. I'd have been unhurt somebody, crashed out, hurt myself. I ain't here for this, that, and I'm missing a whole purpose. Now we going right back to this. I think I'm strong enough to handle it. And I think I'm strong enough to handle any other battle that's think is coming towards my way. I got my boots on and my shield right now.
Yeah.
I'm ready. You feel me?
And you're giving other people.
And I'm
giving
and
to other people.
I'm giving other people, and it's also, like you say, I know that people are watching, so I gotta make sure that when I move, I know there's a multitude moving with me. So if I crash, you know what I mean? The people I just led to a brick wall. Feel what I'm saying? So if you know God, then you know God is love. And when you're giving off of love, then you know God is in the mix. So damn how maybe I really feel, like how I truly, truly, truly feel. But if I'm moving like this, it's not a facade. It's not fake. It's not, it ain't no industry. You know what I mean? This is the spirit. You feel me? So if the spirit is moving this way, we got to go this way. Because if we go the opposite way, you know where that's going to take you. You know where that's going to lead you. Destruction. And we all know what destruction leads. Nothing good come out of it. We all gonna have bad days. We all gonna have bad days. We don't write our story. You can't write your story. You don't know what you do when you get in the car, when everybody live. We praying everybody make it home. But we don't know. So when you live righteous and you know what I'm saying, you live right, I just want to be able to look the high power in his face when it's all done and say, why? I tried.
Yeah.
I did not fold. It don't matter what test I went through, did I not stand on business? You feel me? And I want to be able to walk through heaven gates knowing that, you know, I did that. I did that for me and mine. You know what I'm saying? So
God's will gonna do it every time, man. I think being a father will too, man. So I lost my dad when I was 18, bro, first week of college. I wasn't a dad at that point. Bro, I dropped out of college freshman year. Dropped out of school, was partying, drinking, depressed, going through it. Fast forward, when I was a father, 2 years ago, my mom almost lost her on her birthday to a heart attack as well. Found my mama passed out on the floor, right? And I remember she's in the hospital. She's in a coma for 2 weeks in the hospital. And I remember being on the phone with my brother, and I'm like, bro, I'm tired of fighting. You know what I'm saying? But I got a child. I got a six-year-old that depend on me. He don't understand what's going on, mama. He not understanding what's going on. He had his first day of kindergarten while she's in a coma. I still got to show up. I still got to take him to school. I still got to show up and be a parent. So I think being a father helps you fight back. We talked about fighting back. Man, that shit has helped me so much in life. Because a lot of times where I come home, it's like, bro, I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of going through it in life. I'm tired of feeling like I got to struggle to just get through the day. But it's like my kid, you know, he is my why. He keeps me through that, man. So lean on those children. You know what I'm saying? Why you're going through what you're going through, bro. It's powerful. Like he said, what you're doing is inspiring for people like me. Like to see you but through it, to see you fight back the way you do, it's not normal. So understand that you are a vessel for a lot of people that are watching this, a lot of people who may not even see this, but just know you are a vessel.
I appreciate it. And I like to tell people that's in the streets, if you gangster in the streets, you can be gangster having a relationship with the higher power. Like, I'm real gangster when it comes to that. Ain't no, you, I ain't, mom, I stand on that for sure, for sure.
Yeah.
If you gangster enough to go do some armed robbery, if you gangster enough to go sell some dope, if you gangster enough to take from your brother, you are gangster enough to have a relationship with the higher power and stand on the same business. And that's how I am when it comes to my spirituality. I'm real frontline gangster. If don't nobody ever want to go, I go. Don't nobody move, I move. Every lick, I'm on it. I be the example. Okay, I'm in the scratches, because I know you gonna make sure that I'm taken care of. You feel what I'm saying? And if somebody got to do it in order for the next 40, 50 years to be smoothing out,
it's worth it.
It's worth it. Mm. You see what I'm saying? And I take that mentality. It's like going to war. It's like going to battle. You don't need to know these folks. You think about people in the army. You don't know who you fight.
Mm-hmm.
You just was told by your commander in chief, this is who you got to go at. So it's like that with a spiritual battle. It's, you know, every day when you leave out your house, it's wartime. I know people ain't gonna believe in what I believe in. The industry, you know, it's a lot of enemies when it's like, ooh, but y'all ain't right on the inside.
You can feel it.
You can feel it.
You can feel it.
And so you gotta make sure you gotta have that armor still, because. Mm-hmm. I'm a human being, and I'm, like you said, I'm not perfect.
Yeah.
So I don't want to do nothing unrighteous where I'm like, after I do it later on, I'm like, I knew better. Man, I can't believe they got me up out of there. Man, ain't nobody got that much. Don't nobody got control over me, man. But me, I can't believe I reacted. Man, he really got up under my skin when I know I'm too smooth and swift for that. So I got to know how to handle everything, anything. So even when this came, it was just like, whoo.
Yeah, that's one. That's one of them. Hey, that's
one of
them
ones.
That's one of
them ones. And it ain't fake. It's one of, it's real. Ain't no game. Ain't no reset button. Ain't no nothing. So it's like being in the streets, man. You got to adjust right now, man. You got to adjust right now. And how do I adjust? I don't know. How do I get through it? I don't know. I just say, you know what? I pray, ask for guidance, ask for the strength, ask for the wisdom, I ask to be around genuine people, I ask to remove negative energy, I ask to guide my footsteps and guide the words that I speak out of my mouth, because I know me. If I get angry enough, I don't care who you is in front of me, sucker. Dig what I'm saying? But that ain't the person that's going to save a multitude of people. That's only acting off impulse. I know that I got to save my kids, my family, soldiers that live all the way on the other side of the country.
It's a fact.
That's going through something. And not only I'm going through something, I got to go get the energy from other soldiers who went through something. So all of this is what I'm doing is just a bundle of spirituality. Somebody who's willing to learn, somebody who's willing to accept whatever the now is,
yeah.
And we got to move forward. Just like you have to accept that.
your life still going. You got to take care of your kid. Your child don't even know what's going on. Exactly. You got to be able to navigate this.
You got to show up and smile,
too. You got to. It's a key. It's a forever fight, but it's a forever struggle. But I'm here to tell you, brother. I'm here to tell everybody. The joy that you get when you know you are a real fighter. You feel what I'm saying? It's a sense of peace when you by yourself and you gotta let it out. And it be like you said, you wanna give up, but you like, man, I'm a fighter. Like, I ain't even got to give up. Yeah. I can't give up. Them words don't even come out of my, because I feel defeated. I be like, watch when I get on my feet. I'm swinging. All right, yeah, you done hit me, you done knocked me down, but why when I get up? Why, matter of fact, I'm gonna learn how to fight when I'm on the ground.
Come on now.
I grab your ankle. That's
a fact.
Well, I break an ankle, boy.
Yeah.
You feel me? I'm a find a way to get back on my feet. Yeah. So it's like that fight, that urge. That's why when I'm on stage or when I'm in on a movie set, I'm like the passion that I'm bringing to whatever. Mm. I got to channel all these emotions. I'm channeling them on the way here. Come on up. Listening to music, trying to figure it out. And I'm like, I got to get myself together. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think it's a mistake that literally on your chest is faith. I don't think that it's a mistake that being black is parallel to that experience.
Right.
Right? Like, if everything you said about fighting spiritually, showing up, being tired, it don't matter because it's bigger than you. That's just blackness, right? That's being a man, it's being a woman. And I think that I'm really blessed to share this space with y'all, man. I
appreciate it, brother.
Really blessed to share this space with y'all. Really, really.
Definitely appreciate sharing this space, man. This is what For the Fellas is for, man. So, you know, appreciate you sharing that with For the Fellas, man. Like, we appreciate you, bro. You're an inspiration. To everybody watching, know that For the Fellas is a safe space. We hope this inspires this conversation. Know that we're swinging and we're fighting with you. It's a constant fight every day, but we're going to do it and we wear it well because we soldiers.
The joy knowing that God brought you through. You feel me? It's not the joy of what's going on. Joy of saying, I made it. Mm. The joy of saying, I got through it. The joy of saying, wow, my mind state at that day was crazy, but my mind state today is in a better space. You see what I'm saying? Like, I'm a real fighter, man. My back's against the wall. I'm not getting on that ground, my boy. Yeah. You gangster for real, right? You
step on.
You done been closed in. Why you can't do that with the relationship with the higher power? Yeah. Same gangster, man. I'm frontliner, so I just be like, my God, if you need me, what do I need to say? Yeah. What do I need to do? How do I need to move? Because I don't want to leave nobody wrong. Like, I remember I had a conversation with somebody. And before I had the conversation with somebody, I said, okay, I want to make sure I say the right things or no matter how I feel. So we had a conversation. But then spiritually, I started feeling some type of way. I was like, why? I mean, I don't really care for real. I'm like, nah, I ain't about can. You said one word too much. You said one word too much. You got your point across, but it was one word out of that whole conversation explain how you really felt. So you said one word too much that could have messed up this whole situation.
Damn.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So sometimes when you have to do this, just stick to the course.
For sure.
Don't get out of line. Don't improv. When it comes to spirituality, don't improv. You got to stick to the script. Because when you stick off improv, now you impulsing and you can say one word too much and then the course of now is, you dig what I'm saying? So I had to learn from that. Even when I'm feeling some type of way and I don't want to do it because I was probably put there for the other person.
Mm.
And didn't really want to be there, but I had to be there for the other person. But then when you on course, just stick to the course because you was one word too much that could have made this go left. You see what I'm saying? So you just got to be obedient, man. And when I'm on that stage or when I'm doing anything where it's like I get to channel my emotions and I get to actually present myself as such, I get to lay it all out on stage. I get to lay it all out. Like, even with this, I get to lay it all out. Because I don't have these conversations every day. Mm-hmm. I don't talk about this every day. I don't really, you know what I mean? This ain't really no. And then on the hood. It ain't none of y'all business.
Nah, it's a fact.
But it helps.
It helps, man.
It helps. It's therapeutic. Yeah. You dig what I'm saying? So I appreciate y'all brothers as well.
Appreciate you. Shout out to BT and VH1 for even creating spaces like this with For The Fellas. It's much needed in the community. It's much needed for us. So I speak for everybody here at For The Fellas. I want to say thank you guys for sharing your story, your testimony. It's inspiring. Each one of you are leading in your community and inspiring to be. I'm happy to be sitting here with you guys.
Thank you. To a younger Malcolm Mays and any other young person out there of color who hopes and dreams for the most, you can have it. You deserve it. All you gotta do is earn it.
Advice I would give the younger Lenny S, or the youth in general, is please be determined, be ambitious, and absolutely do not let fear stand in the way of pursuing your dreams.
Yo, to the younger DC, not only to the younger DC, but just to the younger generation, man, the next upcoming, you know what I mean, Black Excellence superstar, or just Black Excellence individual, the opportunities are limitless, you know what I'm saying? Whatever you think you can be, whatever you dream you can be that. Stay prayed up, keep God first, have a dream, always vision, and don't ever be scared to fail, because failure leads to success, all right? Failure is a lesson to learn how to succeed. Understand? You didn't walk in knowing your times table. Somebody taught you, you know? So always be a student. Always be ready to learn and improvement, you feel me? Leave room for improvement and always want to be great. You dig? And don't ever let nobody tell you that you can't make it. Look at me.
Hey, it's Malcolm Mays, and you are tuned in to For The Fellas.
This is your boy Lenny S, and you're watching For The Fellas.
It's your boy DC Young Fly, and welcome to For The Fellas, only on BET.
Grade 6.
All
right.
Give it away.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You can sing good.
I ain't bushing.
Yeah, we're good.
We're
sure?
We're
so sure. Are you ready? Bop. Are you ready? All right.
Let me know you're ready. I gotta pee again, man.
What a water.
Oh, no, you gonna have to hold that.
Well, everything, bro. I'm gonna hold the cut of this shit.
Don't you got a hard out at 1:30?
Nah, I'm gonna be out at 1:45.
2:45, you heard him? That's great. Thank you so much, DC. You are so good.
What's the bathroom, man? It's downstairs again?
This is not going to be.
Yeah, I gotta go to it.
Oh, it's crazy,
bro.
Oh, this man's 7 years old.
Oh, young DC, you are 30
minutes. Oh, God, you do. Oh,
God. That just cost you 25 minutes.
And then the left is fucking pink.
You got the crows on the couch, yo. Hey, man.
This is why I only work with professionals. This is crazy. Oh, I can't say the N-word again? My bad.
Have you let it anyway?
This is nice, though, man. Y'all really did a good job, bro. This shit fire.
We try to roll the carpet off of y'all.